turn in your Bibles to, what do I really want you to turn? Go to Revelation chapter 3. That's probably a place to start. Josh, are we recording? Are we recording? Yeah, but turn the volume, the little record volume up. Can you turn that up so that it shows higher? Pretty please, so I don't have to walk back there before I start speaking. Please? You good? Okay, we're good. All right. Yeah, I did something to my glasses. Now they don't fit in my nose the same way. That's not good. Okay. It is working, right? Okay. Revelation chapter 3. The title of today's... I need to talk to you about this message. I forgot. Okay. Sometimes when you're getting ready to teach a message or a word or something, it's encouraging, it's uplifting, sometimes it's more challenging, anything can happen. And sometimes when you're speaking, you kind of know that this is really going to, this is an important point and it's going to touch people. I mean, you kind of know ahead of time, it's almost like God's going, hey, this is important, so and so. And sometimes it's easy to forget that when you're speaking, that you're not speaking for the audience, but you're speaking for the author. Now, that's a hard thing to remember. And I even went on a fast one time, and the Lord rebuked me and said, you're not speaking for them, you're speaking for me. Remember? And it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Speak for the author, not the audience. So this is one of those messages where I'm speaking most specifically because the author told me to speak this. Now, what you're going to hear in this message has multiple applications. It can apply on maybe 10 different levels in your personal life. It is not my job to determine what level that applies to you in. It is the job of you listening and you processing with God how it applies to you. The message is biblical based and it is a biblical message. Some of you might get something in addition out of that that has application in other areas of your life. If that's the case, great, as long as it's God. But the intent is very clear. This is a biblical message to be followed at and viewed spiritually. Any other applications are up to the Holy Spirit, not up to me. Having said that, this is going to apply to a lot of you individually and differently than to the person next to you. You understand what that means? Let me rephrase what that means. This is going to apply to you in a way that is personalized, and I'm not going to personalize it. Only God can personalize it. So you need to listen for what God is trying to tell you, okay? And I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your friends. I'm talking about you. God's going to tell you something, and you need to listen, okay? So let's pray over that. Father, we come before you right now, and I do no justice to this word or any other word, nor does any other minister do justice to any other word. In teaching your truths, we ask that we would know the truths. The truths would challenge us. Sometimes the truth sets us free. Sometimes the truth helps us to conform more into the image of Christ. Whatever the application, however it's going to process, however it's going to work out for everybody in this room, I pray that you would be the one who's working it out. Not in our flesh, not in our smarts, not in our wisdom, but by your Spirit, make this application work. Holy Spirit, I ask you to minister this word deep into everybody's mind. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Okay. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 3 in a second, but I want to remind you of a story that you know of in the Gospel of John. It has to do with Jesus. And Jesus goes to the temple, and he notices in the temple that people are buying and selling, and they're doing commerce and business. And Jesus gets a tad bit riffed on this whole thing, so he gets a whip made of cords, and he goes in and he starts, you know, flailing away and driving the animals out. And the Bible says that he's overturning the tables. And I think that a lot of people they have a vision of Jesus and that he was always like a flower child from the 60s or something. Like he was always like, it's okay, it's okay. And if you get the vision, this is a guy that goes into a literally like a swap market, or a swap meet, right? And starts flipping everybody's tables right in front of them. So I want you to visualize going to a swap meet and having some guy come in and going, "This is wrong! This is wrong!" And then he's got this whip and he's, you know, wham, wham on animals and driving animals everywhere and flipping tables everywhere. And people are probably going, "What is going on?" I mean, they must have been freaking out. And there's this notion that Jesus is just, every time, it's just Jesus is just this, "Oh, Jesus, so sweet, Jesus." And it's like, yeah, no, this is not exactly what's going on. This is a major confrontation. A major confrontation between Jesus Christ and what the religious leaders had allowed to take place in the temple of God. I mean, this is an outright, I mean, this is like a fight in its own way. And there's this mentality that Christians, and I hate this, but that Christians somehow, some way, in some capacity, are supposed to be weenies. Like, there is some issue that says Christians should be quiet. You know, two things never to talk about: politics and religion. You know, the two things we should talk about more than anything else is religion and politics. More than anything else, we should be talking about that, because everything else, I mean, talking about who's the best singer on American Idol doesn't have as much importance as it does about talking about God. Sorry! I mean, that's just the way it goes. And there's this mentality that we should, like, lay down and just be nothing, that you don't want to be heard from because you could upset people and so on and so forth. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the power and the gospel of Christ. Yet so many Christians walk fearful that they are going to say something and it's a firestorm that could come out from there. Jude, in his passage, says that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered. How do you earnestly contend for a faith if you're not allowed to talk about it? How do you earnestly stand up and say, "This is the truth and this is the way," and walk ye in it if you're not supposed to? And why aren't you supposed to? Oh, Davey, we know why. It's all that political correct stuff we're supposed to do. You know, the PC stuff, you know, pushing Christ out stuff, the PC stuff. Because, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. I mean, look, did Jesus offend people? All the time. All the time. But that's not politically correct. We're not supposed to offend people. How far do we take that? I'll tell you how far we take it. San Francisco, during Christmas this year, decided, of course, San Francisco, I mean, you're just waiting for this thing to go down. San Francisco decided no red or green Hershey Kisses during Christmas. No red or green Hershey Kisses. Because they just reflect the idea of Christmas just a little too much. What? What? What kind of insanity do we allow this kind of stupidity to take place? Red and green Hershey Kisses represent Jesus? When? Where? How? If that's the case, I'm going to start throwing them at people. Are you kidding me? So these candies make a statement that God the Father loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that the son should die. How do you get that out of a Hershey Kiss? Wow, what do you do with a big Hershey bar? You're in a lot of trouble there. It's like so insane. And I got a message for you. Ready? You're not going to like it, but it is true. Ready? God does not like passive, neutral anything. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He's thinking, he's mad about something. No, not really. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the rulers of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." God is not into neutral. Let me explain to you what's going on. And there's a lot of great passages on what the hot water represents. because there was hot waters, and by Laodicea they were kind of like mineral waters, and there was refreshing waters at Colossae 10 miles away. So they're saying, oh, the illustration is, you know, hot medicinal and cold refreshing, and these people were lukewarm. I think it's pretty simple. What God's saying is, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to throw you up. You disgust me. That's what he said. When he says, I'm going to spit you out of your mouth, that's very nice of the NIV. It is. All the other versions say upchuck. Blah! That's Jesus' answer. You know what? You guys are, you're lukewarm. You're sitting in this place where you don't really think you need to be heated up. You're not cold. You're just kind of there. Not really irritating anybody on the left or the right. You're just there. And Jesus says, I think that's disgusting. It makes me want to throw up. Wow. That's some pretty strong language from Jesus. Makes you want to think, well, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Oh, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18. Take a peek at 1 Kings chapter 18. You're actually going to hear a message today from a verse in Zephaniah. When's the last time you heard that? But let's go first to 1 Kings chapter 18. Everybody still with me? Everybody there? Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to get to the passage, and I'm going to read it. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings is right before 2 Kings. Just making sure you guys are listening. It's my job. Just doing my job. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at verse... Now, do you guys know the story? This is Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You ever heard this story? We could read some of it. I'll go through a little bit extra. I was going to do... No, let's just do verse 16. We'll pick it up from 16. 1 Kings 18, 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? Everybody see that? How long will you waver between two opinions? See, this wavering, this is the lukewarmy thing. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're not left, you're not right. You're just right in the middle, like nothing. How long will you waver? How long will you be in limbo land? How long will you be neutral? How long will you be Switzerland? How long? So he says to them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And there it is. The gauntlet is thrown down. Hey, if God is God, then follow God. And if God not God, then follow. If this thing's real, do it. If it's not, don't. Exactly what's being said. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. Make a choice. No room, no space, no joking around. It's like either that or not. It's basically, bottom line, is pick a side. Pick, you know what? You got to pick a side. Oh, I'm going to try and stay in the middle. No, you're not. You're going to have to pick a side. God's going to force people to pick a side. Pick a side. Take A or B. A or B. Well, I choose C. It's A or B, knucklehead. Pick a side. That's the whole point. So in verse 21, he tells them straight out. He's no fooling around. He says, hey, if the Lord God is, follow him. If Baal is, follow him. The people said nothing, of course. Then Elijah said to him, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. Baal has 450 prophets. Now look at this. This is a brilliant little statement. I love this. Elijah goes, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. So he tells us in verse 21, pick a side. And then he says, hey, even if you're the only person and you have to stand alone, pick a side. And you think, well, no, no, no. Elijah was the only one. And he said, you guys are wrong. The Lord is God, not Baal. I stand here by myself, whether anybody likes it or not. And in your life, there are times where you need to make a choice. You need to pick a side. You need to choose. You need to, and I got news to you, if you know it's the Lord, even if you have to stand alone, too bad. Too bad. You make the choice for God, or you make the choice against God and suffer eternal consequences, one or the other. But you got to make a choice, and if you have to stand alone because you're choosing for the right thing, then by golly, stand alone and get some backbone in you and do it. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Man, you don't see very much of that anymore, do you? You don't see a lot of boldness coming out of the church. Well, why is that? Well, we don't want to offend anybody. If they don't repent, they're going to hell. How much more offensive could it be? I mean, that's the bottom line. It's like, this isn't a joke or a game. Well, it's a nice way to go through life. In 100 years, it ain't going to be a nice way for anybody. People that get in are going to get in by the grace of God and the skin of their teeth, and everybody else, they ain't getting in. Well, I don't understand how that works. Well, you're not God, so sit down and relax. As soon as you're called upon, you'll be called upon. It's like, take your proper place. And it's like, you think, wow, that's very harsh. It's very mean. I can't help it. It's like a mugwump. Mug on one side, womp on another. You know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to have in the Civil War, you know what they did? And they did do this. This is ironic. They would dress up with a gray top or a blue and a blue bottom, or a blue bottom and a gray top, thinking, well, I'm on both sides. Guess what happened to those people? They got shot from both sides. Why? Because that's stupid. That's why, sorry. Joshua 24. Let's see, where is it? Just a little further back behind. Let's go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Everybody should know this text. Most people have this in a little plaque somewhere on their wall in the kitchen. Joshua chapter 24. Now again, really, I'm not mad at anybody. I swear. I'm just teaching what the Lord told me to teach. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to go to verse 15 because I don't see really any reason. Nah, I'll go to verse 14. 24:14, Joshua. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua says to the children of Israel, make a choice. Are you going to serve churchianity? Are you going to serve religion? Are you going to serve your financial personal kingdom? Are you going to serve sex? Are you going to serve money? Are you going to serve any other form of entertainment? Or are you going to serve God? Make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your kingdom and your establishment of how important you are? Or are you going to serve God and what He wants and what He says? Now, don't get this wrong. I don't do this perfectly. Neither do you. It's okay. It's what we all need to hear. Yeah. It's not about us, is it? We just keep thinking it's about us, but it's not really about us per se. It's about God and His kingdom and doing what He wants and following Him. And really, we don't even have a kingdom. We just think we have a kingdom. Everybody thinks they have their own little kingdom, their own little universe. It's so funny. It's so funny. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by Satan? What did he do? He took Jesus to the top of a pinnacle and he said, "All these kingdoms in the world are mine." That's what Satan said. They're all mine. And Jesus never said, "No, they're not." And then Satan said, "I'll give them to whoever I want to." Wow. That really takes a lot of man's kingdom out of the steam of things. It's like, not really, huh? In fact, let's look at Matthew chapter 12 just to make sure that we're not losing our collective biblical minds. Hey, Josh, are any of the other mics up? Because can you turn all three of those mics off, please? I think that's part of that feedback. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're actually close to the wind down. Not quite, but we're close to the wind down. Matthew chapter 12. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. And I just want to show you how many different kingdoms there really are. Ready? Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." There are two primary kingdoms that we are at play with. How many? Two. There are four lights. You get it? Most of you don't. Rob got it. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Here's the click. Every choice we make supports one kingdom or another. You think, well, I don't support the kingdom of darkness. Every time you consciously decide to sin, you just supported the kingdom of darkness. You just furthered it. Oh, how could you say that? Because it's true. That's how I can say it. Every time you sit down and pray for somebody who's on your heart that the Holy Spirit has prompted you to pray for, you further the kingdom of God. Every choice we make furthers one kingdom or another. Every day. Ouch. Romans chapter 6. Now we're getting to the wind down. Romans chapter 6. Oh, that's harsh, isn't it? You can just feel in this room the The uh-oh factor. That's what we'll start calling it. Romans chapter 6. And then you only got one more verse after that, maybe two. Makes sense. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. By the way, it is a choice. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Okay? The word instruments in the New King James in the Clef Notes is also weapons, which I love. I mean, when you're a guy like me and you see words in a weapon, where weapon could be substituted for instrument, you think, I think that's cool. So I love to and choose to reread it this way. In the same way, go to verse 3. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as weapons of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as weapons of righteousness. You can offer yourself as a weapon of righteousness or unrighteousness. You can offer yourself as an instrument to further the good kingdom or the bad kingdom. It is entirely up to you. You make the choice every day in things you're dealing with. Choose. Choose wisely, people, but choose. But here's what you can't do. Ready? You can't make no choice. You can't take no stand. Because by making no choice and taking no stand, you are also furthering and advancing a kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. By doing nothing, you advance the enemy's kingdom. You think, how can you say that? So insensitive. Bad born again Jew. Bad born again Jew. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah. When's the last time you hit something out of Zephaniah? Like never? Okay, Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Oh. This is the whole, all this entire message came out of this one verse. Just to let you know. Everything came out of this one verse. Dave's losing it. Okay, here we go. Zephaniah. Does everybody know where Zephaniah is? It's after Habakkuk. It's one before Haggai, which is before Zechariah, which is before Malachi. It's like four books in from the end. Just trying to help everybody get there. Zephaniah. Just write it down if you don't want to look it up. Here we go. Zephaniah, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12, and can we all say, ouch. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent. Hold on here. Okay, let's just go over this again, just so everybody can know what God is trying to tell you. I'm going to go through Jerusalem with lamps. And I find people that are complacent, when I find people that are indifferent, the word is shemir in the Hebrew, it literally means indifference. That's exactly what it means. When I find complacent, when I find indifferent, when I find people that don't choose, when I find people that are lukewarm, when I find people that won't offer themselves left or right, when I find people that aren't going to, they're going to be Switzerland, holy cheese right in the middle, I am going to punish them. Oh, punish them. How often does God say, I'm going to punish them? I'm going to punish them because they're doing nothing. You say, oh, I'm not in the war. You are in the war. You just got to pick sides. There is no option. There's no opportunity for you to escape it. You cannot do it. And the picture of Shemir, the word, is great, especially in Temecula and wine country. The idea of the picture, the root idea, comes from a bottle of wine. Now listen to this. That's sitting on a shelf collecting dust. Now, there are two things that you should be doing with a bottle of wine. One, drinking it. Or two, storing it properly so it increases its value, which means you put it in a room that's at a certain temperature, tilted a certain way. You understand? So it's a bottle of wine is to be preserved, right? But this word in the Hebrew means that it's a bottle of wine that somebody's just stuck on a shelf and all it does is collect dust. It doesn't do a single thing. It adds no value. It doesn't help it in any possible capacity. And God says, if I go through Jerusalem with my lamp and I find you're complacent and indifferent and you don't make a choice and you're not taking a stand, I am going to punish you. Because I want response. You are in this or you are out of this. When Moses was dealing with the children of Israel, and the children of Israel had when he was up and he was getting the tablets, and the children of Israel decided, let's worship this object of gold. Let's worship this calf. And Moses came down. Moses drew a line in the sand and said, everybody who's with the Lord, over here. And all the Levites came over. And then you know what they all did? They all went in throughout the camp and started killing people. God doesn't like that half in, half out. Yeah, kind of, cannot really. You're in. You make a choice for God or you don't make a choice for God. I'm not telling you to be a perfect Christian. I'm not telling you this so you'll be guilty. I'm telling you this to make an absolute, resolute decision in your mind. Going, no matter how dumb I am, no matter how bad I am, no matter how much I sin, no matter how much I mess up, I still choose the kingdom of God, not any other kingdom. That's the point of the message. No matter how many times you commit the same sin, and some of you are stuck in the same sin over and over and over again, and you think, I am so never going to get out of this. I am telling you right now, one day you may get out of it. I hope you do. But that does not change the fact that you still determine to decide to step with the kingdom of God. The fact that you struggle with sin is the indicator that you're in. Because people that aren't in do not struggle with sin. They don't. Care. That's the whole point. You get that's the whole point. So we're going to close this out, and I'm not asking you to become holier than thou. I'm not asking for anything like that. I'm asking you to listen to what God is saying fundamentally. Even if you're a total mess, be God's mess. Even if you're totally out of sync, do it knowing that His kingdom is the right kingdom. He'll work that other stuff out. But just do it with your mind deciding, I'm going to go the right way. I'm going to go God's way. And I might not walk the walk right, and I might sin, I might do this, and I might do this, and I might offend a bazillion people, but I still choose God. Because you still have to make a choice. Everybody got that? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we bless you and praise you. I don't know if I did this word justice. It's a tough word. I love it. It's a tough word. And so what we're praying right now is for every person in this room that you would strengthen the decisions they've made. Not looking to heap guilt anywhere. In fact, quite the opposite. I just want everybody who knows that you're real to confirm that decision, to stand in you. To make a decision to say, you know, I don't offer myself as an instrument or a weapon of righteousness very often, but I'd like to learn, I'd like to understand, I don't know how, I could use some help. To make that decision that your kingdom, your work, your ways are more important than the ways of the world. And there is no neutrality in the warfare for souls. We're either with you, Lord, or we're not. So help us to be with you in every decision, in every realm, in every way. Lord, I ask you to come right now and just minister just for a few moments to those who are, I see some people that are twisted in sin, and you're just, it's just getting the best of you. Lord, I ask you to minister to those people your forgiveness and your grace, that they choose, Lord, your kingdom. They choose your kingdom. They're not walking perfectly in your kingdom. They choose for your kingdom. They side with the divine, knowing that the world and all the other stuff around them, it's just, that's not the answer. That you do hold the answers to life. We just ask you to minister your forgiveness and your healing, literally your healing power right now. And Lord, we just lift up that person who has got that pain in the leg, and just we just ask you to touch that right now in Jesus' name. We ask you to minister to that right now in Jesus' name. Somebody who's got some kind of hurt thigh or something like that, whatever that is. We just ask you to minister that. In fact, whoever that person is after service, please come up and see me. I want to talk to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help us to get on board with your bus. Sometimes we're on the wrong bus. It's like, gosh, help us to get on board with your bus heading in your direction and not trying to build our kingdoms. Oh, we thank you. We praise you. We just ask you to bless our baptism time and pour out your Holy Spirit. Again, those few people that are really twisted up in their sin, we just ask you to free them. You know what? That sin is not greater than you. And one day it will all be unraveled, and it will not taunt you. It will not taunt you. It will not. Because the power and grace and deliverance of Christ is much greater. Greater is he that is with us than they that are in the world. We bless and praise you. We ask you to bless the rest of our time. Lord, of course, I forgot to take the offering because sometimes I'm an idiot, so just forgive me and just bless our offering. Don, I want you to come up. Donna, you want to come up? And who else is coming up? Is it Pete? Pete, come on up and turn to face and let's just pray. I really feel like the Lord is, you know, really beginning. Like, okay, here's the beginning. This is A out of A through Z to allow some really powerful and important things to take place. And we're going to try and give more and more room to that. And if it looks sloppy, too bad. We're just going to try and follow God. Anyway, let's pray over the word, the offering. funny. Okay, Lord, we ask you to bless the offering. A.A. Allen asked you in his past that you would turn ones into 20s, and I read in the historical books that people got irritated about that. And I think that's hilarious. So God, I pray you turn one into hundreds. Forget 20s, and just manifest your power, your miracle power, and help us in all our needs. We really have some serious needs, and we really need help, and ask you to just touch people and let them give in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and pass the offering. As the offering is being passed, and everybody is giving the best they can, again, I want to stress that you read the pastor's notes in the bulletin. We're really going to try and make room for a few different things that the Lord wants to do. And we will not do all of that perfectly, but we will do that. So here's a statement that I never want you to forget. If we pray for 500 people and one person gets healed, that's fine. But if we don't pray for anybody and nobody gets healed, that's not fine. We got to try is the whole point. We're going to try. Do our best to follow, be sensitive to the Lord. So if that message applied to you and ministered to you, that's good. And if you hated it, God bless you, and if you really hated it, anyway, but outside of that, if you're that person with that leg or thigh thing, I want you to come up and tell me because I want to see who you are, okay? God bless you. We are done. Let's start cleaning up, and then hang out if you're caravanning.